The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Shavuot, Daf Mem Dalet. Today's daf is being studied. Da'inu Nishmat, Avraham ben Esther, Ve'eliyahu ben Allegra. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. The Fuat Shelema, Miki ben Jamie. Enna Refanalom, Refat Nefesh, Refat Guf. Atoker Balabo. We begin today's daf on Mem Gimal Amud Bet, and we are starting 12 lines from the bottom. We are starting from the word Sela Elviticha. We learned on yesterday's daf an opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel's opinion was that when a person makes a loan and he receives a mashkon, he receives a collateral, and the collateral is not as valuable as the loan. The loan is $1,000, the collateral is $500, or even less than that. So we assume that when he accepted it, the malve accepted it as payment, meaning that if it gets lost or something happens to it, then that's it, the loan is forgiven, even though it's considerably less than the amount of the loan. But the assumption is, again, when he takes it, why would he take something that's less than the value? So we say that he's as if he's saying that this is instead of the loan, that if you don't pay me, or if I lose it, so then already we're even. So the Gemara is going to question this concept. The Gemara says, Tenan, we learned Tenan Mishnah. The Malve tells the Love, Sela el viticha alav. I lent you a Sela. A shekel aya shave. And the Mashkon was a shekel. Was half. Ba'ala Omer, the Love says, Lo ki, ela sela el vitani alav. Yes, indeed, it was a sela alone, u'shlosha dinarim ayashave, and it was 3 dinarim, and therefore I'm only chayav to you 1 dinar. So he's modeh b'miksat. Chayav, so we said he's chayav to make he has chayav to make a shivu'a, and he has to pay the dinar. Or if he doesn't swear, so he has to pay the dinar. So the Gemara's question is, why? Lemale hakabilte. Why doesn't he just come along and say, you received the mashkon against the whole chov, and if you lost it, so you lost the whole thing. What's the debate over? Obviously the mashkon is not around. He's saying it was worth a shekel. He's saying it was worth 3 dinarim. What's the case? Once already he gave him a mashkon, the love should tell him, take care, I don't have to pay anything. You lost the mashkon. It was, you're saying it was worth 3, which is less than the sela loan. So it's foregone, it's lost. And the fact that you don't see that, you see Shmuel's wrong. Because Shmuel said the mashkon is lost. Well, mashkon is lost, the loan is forgiven. But it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. So Gemara says there's a difference. Matnitin b'deparish. Shmuel bedelo parish. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the Malve specifically said at the time that he got the Mashkon that I'm not taking responsibility only up to its value. So he spoke about Beferush, bede parish. He explicitly said, if it gets lost, the Mashkon is $200, I'm only deducting $200 from the loan. So when he speaks it out clearly, there's nothing to talk about. However, Shmuel b'delo parish. Shmuel's case is talking about, we didn't say anything. He received it stam. So when a malveh receives a mashkon that's considerably less than the loan, stam, the assumption is he accepted it keneged the whole chov. So that is the difference between the Mishnah and Shmuel's case. Of course, if a person stipulates in the beginning and says, listen, I'm not accepting the mashkon only as face value, then of course it's only face value. There's nothing to talk about. Now the Gemara comes along and says, Lema ketanae. Let us say that this concept of Shmuel, that again, that when the mashkon is lost and it's worth less than the loan, that we say the loan is forgiven, the loan is canceled. Let us say that is a machloket amongst the tanaim. Lema ketanae. What's the brayta? So we have a brayta. Hamalve et chavero al mashkon. He lent the money with a mashkon. Ve'avad ha-mashkon. Exactly our case. He lost the mashkon. Yishava. So the malveh has to swear that the mashkon was lost. as we learned already, that he has to swear, maybe he took it for himself, so he has to swear that indeed it was lost, the yitol it ma'otav, and he gets paid. Devre Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yacholu Shiyomar Lo, the Dove can tell the Malve, Klum il Vitani Ela Alam Mashkon, didn't I borrow the money on a collateral? Avada Mashkon, Avdu Ma'otecha, you lost the Mashkon, you lost the money. But if he lends 1,000 zuz with a shtar, meaning it's with a document, and a mashkon was given, everybody agrees. So everybody agrees in the case of a shtar, where the shtar to document what happened, everybody agrees if he lost the mashkon, that the loan is cancelled. We'll have to see why. What's a shtar different? But we want to go to the first part of the Braita. First part of the Braita was a straight-up case. Guys, Malvet Chavirah LaMashkon, he lost the Mashkon, swear, and take your money. It's a Bini Eisen. The Bia Kiva says nothing doing. It's canceled. Hechi Demes. So the Gemara says, what's the case? E Deshaveh Shi'ur Zuzeh. If we're talking about a Mashkon, that's equal to the loan. The loan was 1,000. The Mashkon was 1,000. My Ta'ma did a Bini Eisen. What's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says that if the mashkon was lost, the malveh doesn't lose his loan? Which means if it was equal, it was shaveh, 1,000 to 1,000, so therefore you could assume clearly that when the malveh took it, he took it as payment, that if you don't pay me, I'm taking the mashkon. And now the fact that he lost the mashkon, so therefore for sure he should be hayab, which means the shomer, or the malveh, the loan was 1,000. He got something that's worth 1,000. So that's taken as payment. And until he gets paid, the Mefarshim understand it, that he's considered a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar is like he's watching it by getting paid. Even though he didn't pay him, but he has a Hana'ah. The Hana'ah that he has is the fact that he's holding on to the payment, that just in case this guy defaults, he has it. So there's a... There's a benefit over here, and therefore, since he's a shomer sachar and it's equal to the amount, if it got lost, so he's chayav. Shomer sachar is chayav. Geneva aveda is chayav. So therefore, I don't understand if the case is worth that the loan is 1,000 and the mashkon is worth 1,000. So then we assume what, that the guy took it with kavanah that if the guy defaults on me, I'm going to get paid. So, and therefore what? We consider him a shomer sachar because he has the hana'av of the situation. And therefore what? The deen should be that if it got lost, the loan is cancelled. So why is the Bidi Isaac coming along and saying that the malveh still gets paid? So the case cannot be where the loan is equal to the mashkon is equal to the loan. Ela what? Ela lav v'delo shaveh shi'ur zuzeh. The case must be told by where it's not equal. The mashkon is less than the loan. And what's the machloket ubid b'Shmuel kamefligi? And the machloket must be in the Sevarav Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer argues on Shmuel, and he says when the mashkon is less than the loan, which means he doesn't take it for a mashkon at all, and therefore, of course, he's not sure that he's going to get paid, and therefore he's only taking the mashkon as a proof that there was a loan. But he's not taking it for payment at all. And therefore, he doesn't accept any responsibility on it. And therefore, if anything, he's just a shomer chinam. He has no benefit, no pleasure. So why did he take it? He only took it because of just to prove that there was a loan over here. So he's holding the collateral. And therefore, if he lost it, as long as he wasn't a posheya, he'll swear that he wasn't a posheya, he's be patur. And if we can get the whole chof, get the Bili Eisen again. Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold, he's a hard shita. The other shita, Rabbi Akiva, he holds like Shmuel. He holds that what? That Rabbi Akiva says that since it's less than the loan, that we assume what? That Malveh took it as payment, and therefore, it's connected the whole chof, and therefore it doesn't get paid. I don't have a problem with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds like Shmuel. He took it less. It was less than the shi'ud, less than the amount, right? If the loan was 1,000, the mashkon's 500. Okay, you patur. You don't have to pay that. The malveh lost the mashkon. So that's it. The malveh's off the hook. So since you accepted something that was less, we assume you accepted it as payment for the loan. You lost it. That's it. The levera doesn't have to pay. The hadush is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says when you accept a mashkon that's less than the value of the loan, why did you accept it? You didn't accept it as payment because it's not payment. It's less than the value. So what did you take it for in the first place then? The only reason why you took it is as a proof that there's a loan. As a proof that there's a loan over here. And therefore, you didn't take any responsibility. Therefore, you're a Shubin Chinam. Therefore, if you lose it, there is no responsibility. If you're an Adraba, you can get paid fully. So therefore, if we go continue in the Braita's last case was, but if there's a Shtar, but if he lent the money on a Shtar, what was the last Lashon of the Braita? The last Lashon was, V'im hava malve elef zuz b'shtar. Everybody says he loses the mashkon, he loses the money. Because in that case over there, he can't claim that he took the mashkon for proof. Because you have a shtar for proof. So once you have the shtar for proof of the loan, you can't say, I took the mashkon for proof of the loan. No, you must take the mashkon for payment, even if it was considerably less. So therefore, everybody's going to say in that case, you lost the mashkon, you lost the loan. But in the case where it was less, without a shtar, you have a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Eliezer, and that machlok is the hold of Shmuel or not. So we actually found the concept of Shmuel is a machlok amongst the Tanaim. Gemara says, lo. I'll tell you, that's not the pshat of the machlok of Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Bidelo shabe. When the mashkon is less than the loan, kul alma let lehu de Shmuel. Ben Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Rabbi Akiva, they don't hold the law of Shmuel that says that the Malveh accepts it as to lose the whole loan if he loses it. Helawat, in a case where it's worth less, we'll say that Rabbi Eliezer says the Malveh doesn't lose from the loan at all, and Rabbi Akiva says he only loses up to the value. So he's in that case over there. Where you have less than the value, they will have a mahluk to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that the malveh doesn't lose anything, the klal, and the Rabbi Akiva will say it's only mafsid up to the value of it, and the rest of the loan is intact. So what are they arguing on? What's the real argument? Here we're talking about where the mashkon is equal value. Of the malveh is equal, the mashkon is equal value. So what's the machloket? So Yehuda says, the machloket is in the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin the baal chov shekonem mashkon. Means how do you know that a malveh, when he gets a mashkon, that he owns the mashkon, it becomes his mashkon until he gets paid back. It means, what do you mean it's his? That she goes so far to say it's his, that if it gets lost, even with an onus, he's chayav. How do you know that when a guy gives a mashkon to a malveh, it becomes the malveh's until the time that he pays the loan back? So much so that even if an onus takes place, the malveh is going to be chayav shene emar. It says that there's an obligation that the malveh has to give back the mashkon if the loveh needs it. If he needs it, it's an important item. To use, let's say, he should give it them back. So the pasuk says, "Ulcha tiyet tzedakah." But Mr. Malveh, when you give back the mashkon, it should be considered like you're giving charity. The Gemara says, "Im eno koneh mashkon tzedakah minayinu." If he doesn't own it, why are you calling it charity? If it belongs to the Malveh, he's giving back what belongs to the Malveh. Ela must be mikan lebaal chov shekoneh mashkon, and that's why the Torah is saying. Do tzedakah, even though it belongs to you. If the guy needs it temporarily, give it to him back. Oh, so therefore you see it's considered his. It's considered his that if an onus takes place, it's going to lose it. Oh, that's what's called tzedakah. That's the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. That what? Rabbi Akiva holds that the malveh owns the mashkon like Rabbi Yitzchak. And therefore if he loses it, finished. The debt is cancelled. You own it. Like the pasuk says, "V'chatiyat tzedakah," you lost it. Goodbye. The loan is cleared. However, Rabbi Eliezer says, "No, he doesn't own the mashkon, and therefore, if anything, he's only a shomer chinam. Even though he took it for a sake of mashkon, even though it's equal value of the loan, and therefore, he only lose you're not going to lose your money if the maskon got lost, because you weren't a poshaya. If you weren't a poshaya, so therefore you're a regular shubah hanam. Again, so according to this version, nothing to do with Shemuel. Nothing to do with Shemuel. The case is talking about where it was equal value. $1,000 loan, $1,000 maskon. And what? The machloket is, do you hold that the malve owns the maskon? Well, the Yitzhak says he does. It's his. Oh, so therefore if it's his, so therefore we're going to say the machloket is like this. Rabbi Akiva says he has a kinyan in it. And therefore, if he lost it, he lost his money. There's nothing to talk about. And therefore, according to the B'di'ayetz, he says no, that the malveh doesn't have a kinyan in the mashkon, and therefore, if anything, he's a shomer hinam, and therefore, he's not going to lose his money if he lost the mashkon, shelo b'fshi'a. So nothing to do with Shemuel. Shemuel's case is where it was less than the value of the loan, and he lost it, he doesn't have to pay back anymore. We're not talking about that, we're talking against the value of the loan. And the machloket over here is, do you say that the malveh owns it or not? And that's a symptom of Rabbi Yitzchak. Then the Gemara says, wait, le'emad Rabbi Yitzchak, tana'i, you want to tell me that that machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yitzchak is in the sevara of Rabbi Yitzchak? V'tizbera, does that even make any sense to say that? Imur dama Rabbi Yitzchak, shemashkeno shelo b'sha'at alva'a. Meshkeno b'sha'at alva'a. Mi amar? Wait, look at the context that Rabbi Yitzchak said his law in. Rabbi Yitzchak only said his law that when does the malveh own the mashkon? When the time of the loan came due. So it was due already. And the guy gave him a mashkon, he didn't have the money, gave him the mashkon instead. At the time when the loan is due, that's when Rabbi Yitzchak says the malveh owns the mashkon. Because he's giving it to him as a payment until he gets the money. There we agree that it belongs to the malveh. But over here, we're not talking about a case like that. We're talking about a mashkon that was given at the time of the loan, not the time when the loan was due. And therefore, you cannot learn the machloket of the eyes of Rabbi Akiva is in the sevara of Rabbi Yitzchak, because that's not the case over here. Rabbi Yitzchak's case was talking about where he gave him the mashkon when the loan was due. But over here, the loan wasn't due. The mashkon was given at the time of the loan itself. So therefore, you cannot learn the machloket like that. So therefore, we got to go back. What is indeed the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Ela, the Gemara says, Mishkeno shelo b'sha'at alva'ato. If he gave the mashkon, not at the time of the loan, at the time of the loan was due, kol ha'ama lo peligidit lo Rabbi Yitzchak. Everybody agrees in the sevara of Rabbi Yitzchak. No problem. Ve'acha, v'mishkeno b'sha'at alva'ato. The machloket over is that he gave the mashkon at the time of the loan. Uvshomer aveda kamepalge. The machloket over here is, in how do you look at a shomer aveda? This is a subject that we had in Baba Mesiyah. That's a guy that finds a lost object. He takes a lost object into his house to watch it, and he's going to wait until to return it to the original owner. How do you look at a shomer aveda? What is he considered? Is he a shomer hinnam, or is he a shomer sakar? What are the two sides? The easy side is to say he's a shomer hinnam. No one's paying him to watch the avedah. He's a shomer hinnam, and therefore, if it gets stolen or it gets lost, he's off the hook. Shomer hinnam is patur b'genevah avedah. Or I can look at it a different way. Is a shomer avedah like a shomer sakhar? Shomer sakhar, he's not getting paid. Where's the payment? Well, he is getting paid, or he's saving money, which is considered like getting paid. How? Because watching an avedah is a mitzvah. And we have a law that says, Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. So therefore, it could be at the time that you're watching the avedah, so now an ani is going to come to the door to collect tzedakah, and you're going to be patur from giving him that tzedakah because you're watching the avedah, therefore you save money. Therefore there is a hana'ah. Therefore some rabbis want to say what? Indeed you're a shomer sakhar. Nafkamina, you lose it or it gets stolen, you're going to be hayab. The itmar, it says shomer avedah. Rabbah amar, Rabbah comes along and says kashomer hanam. Because again, you're not getting paid. The Rabbi Yosef amar kashomer sakhar dameh. And Rabbi Yosef says no. Bottom line, you are gaining. you're gaining that. You don't have to give money to an ani. Therefore, you're shomer sachar. Rabban comes along and says that's far fetched. That at the time that you're watching the avedah, an ani is going to come and collect money. Therefore, you're going to be patur. He doesn't consider that a something that's prevalent. Therefore, he calls him a shomer hinnam. Now, once that's a machlok we have already above the mitziah by a shomer avedah. Now, according to this, we want to say that that's the machlok over between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva is going to hold like Rabbi Yosef. That what? Not only is a shomer aveda considered a shomer sachar, but also malveh alam mashkon. The guy that lends money and takes the mashkon is also a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Mitzvah to lend money. And therefore, when he gets the mashkon, he's considered involved in a mitzvah. He's involved in a loan. And therefore, at the time of the mitzvah that he's holding onto the mashkon, he'd be patur from giving tzedakah to an ani. And therefore, as a result that he's getting this ana'ai, becomes a shomer sachar, and therefore, the loveh will be patur to pay. Now he doesn't have the mashkon. He lost the mashkon. Sorry, you're a shomer sachar. Debt is cancelled. Where according to the Midian, he says, no, he's a shomer lenam. And therefore what? You lost the item, swear that you weren't a posheya, and therefore the loveh will have to pay. So the mahloket between the Bidi Ezer and the Bidi Akiva, whether you have to pay or not, is nothing to do with Shemuel. The mashkon is worth the value of the loan. That's what we're talking about. And what's the mahloket over here? What's the obligation of the malveh? Do you consider him a shomer sachar or a shomer chendam? Same mahloket that we had by shomer aveda, we have by a shomer mashkon by a halva'ah. So what? Rabbi Akiva is going to say, just like Rabbi Yosef said by Shomer Avedah, he's a Shomer Sachar. Why? He's doing a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah? Alvah is also a mitzvah. So therefore, you're like, and what's the mitzvah? You lend money, now you're holding on to the mashkon. So therefore, if an ani would come at that time, you'd patut give money, therefore you're Shomer Sachar, therefore nafkamina, you lost it, you hayav. Oh, so therefore, even if he loses it, Rabbi Akiva says, you still have to pay. But Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, I'm sorry, he lost it, so therefore it's done. He lost it, that's it, it's done. That is cleared. You're a shomer sachar, you're hayav. You lost the item, goodbye. Mashiach, according to the Bili Ayazid, he says, no, you're a shomer chenam. I didn't get paid over here, just like shomer avedah, shomer chenam. I say, also over here is a shomer chenam. And therefore, you lost it, or it got stolen, you're patur. Therefore, the loves has to pay. That's the mahal, let's do with Shemuel. Shmuel's discussion is whether mashkon is worth less and he loses it, was he duty accepted as full payment or not. That's a different subject. Here it's talking about where it's equal value. But the machloket over here is to what extent is the shomer mashkon or the malveh obligated? Is it shomer sachar or shomer aveda? So comes the Gemara and says, Lema de Rav Yosef Tanaehi, which means like this. The Gemara's question is like this. It's clear that in the Gemara in Baba Metziah, Rava clearly holds that Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Hinnam. That's clear. Over there, he holds Shomer Hinnam. And over here, we have a Mahloket. Is the Shomer Mashkon, the Malveh, is he a Shomer Hinnam? Or is he a Shomer Sachar? Which it's clear that the opinion over here that says that he's a Shomer Sachar, which means according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva clearly says that the Malveh over here is considered a Shomer Sachar. Okay? So clearly that is like Rabbi Yosef. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer clearly says he's a Shomer Hinam. That clearly goes against, that could only be going like Rava. Meaning Rava that said by Aveda that he's a Shomer Hinam, says over here also, we'll say that he's a Shomer Hinam over here. However, the Gemara's question is, Lema de Rav Yosef Tanaei. So again, I'm reading, Shitat Rava Bevadai Shinuya Bemachloket Tanaim. Which is that which Rava said over there, that he's a Shomer Hinam, is a Machloket. Maybe that's Dafka by Aveda is considered a Shomer Hinam. But maybe by Shomer, by Malveh is considered a Shomer Sachar. Why? I'll explain to you. Shinabi Akiva Sovesh Malveh Alamashkot Shomer Sachar. According to Rabbi Akiva that says he's a Shomer Sachar, the Malveh, Bevadai Cholek Al Rabba. For sure he argues on Rabba. Sheafidu Shomer Aveda U Shomer Hinam. Which means, there's no question that if Rabbi Akiva says that by a Shomer, by a Malveh, that what? That a Malveh is a Shomer Sachar, and that's not such a mitzvah like a shomer aveda. Certainly, a shomer aveda is a shomer sakha. So for sure, he's arguing on about a cause a shomer aveda a shomer einam. Again, Rabbi Akiva clearly says that by shomer sakhar, by a malve that's holding the mashkon, he's considered a shomer sakhar. So if he's a shomer sakhar, well, because he's like, it's like doing a mitzvah. So certainly by shomer aveda is going to become considered a shomer sakhar. That's a bigger mitzvah for sure. Aveda is a clear mitzvah. So therefore, for sure, the Akiva is not going like is not going on Rabbah. For sure, he's arguing on Rabbah. Aval the Gemara shoel et ha'im uchraim lefinish shegam shitat Rabbi Yosef shleim b'machloket, which means, do we have to say that just like the Akiva, you tell me for sure is not going like Rabbah? Do you have to say that Rabbi Eliezer is not going like Rabbi Yosef? Because Rabbi Eliezer over here said what? Rabbi Eliezer holds says that it's like he's that the case of a malveh is a shomer chinam. Do you have to say that Rabbi Yosef argues on this? Gemara says no. V'shomer aveda dechul ha'am meitul Rabbi Yosef. Could be that by aveda everybody would agree to Rabbi Yosef. That indeed what? Ben Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Eliezer that he's a shomer sachar because he's doing a mitzvah. Ve'acha. But over here. Here we're talking about a case where the malveh, let's say, needs the mashkon. Oh, which means not only did he take a mashkon, but he tells the loveh, I'm going to use the mashkon, by the way, and I'm going to deduct the amount that I used it and I benefited. I'm deducted from the loan. Oh, kame palge. Here we have a machloket. Mor sabar mitzvah ka'avid. That what? That he's doing a mitzvah. And therefore, he's considered a shomer sachar, which means even though he's using the mashkon, which is even though he's benefiting from the mashkon, we still call him a shomer sachar because barma he did a mitzvah. I don't care that he's benefiting from the mashkon, and therefore if he loses, he's going to be hayav, and therefore the loan is canceled. Umor sabar lav mitzvah kabi, that even though because he's benefiting from the mashkon, he's not doing a mitzvah. He's the benefit is for his own hana'a, and therefore he's not considered osik b'mitzvah. According to this, everybody would agree, in Rabbi Yosef at least, I'm going to say clearly now, in Rabbi Yosef, in Baba Metziah, when he says Shomer Avedah, everybody would agree that what? That a Shomer Avedah is a Shomer Sachar. No question. Why? Because he has Hana'ah. He's doing a mitzvah, he's patur from giving bread to the Ani, Shomer Sachar. But over here, I can say everybody would agree by Avedah and Shomer Sachar. Here it's a different mahloket. Here, I'm going to say what? We're talking about a case where he's taking the mashkon and using it. He's benefiting from the mashkon. Ah, he's benefiting from the mashkon. He's using him. He tells him, he makes a deal with the loveh. You give it to me, and I want to use it for my own personal benefit as well, and I'll subtract the hana'ah from the loan. Oh, so in that case over there, Rabbi Akiva says, even though he's using it, he's still considered a mitzvah that he did. And therefore, it's considered Shomer Sachar, therefore, if he loses it, goodbye to the loan. Umor sabar, Rabbi Eliezer, an old one, not mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. Because, bottom line, you're a Shomer, are you benefiting from it? No, that benefit is not for the mitzvah. That's for your personal benefit. And therefore, you're not osig b'mitzvah, you're a shomer chinam. And therefore, everybody would agree with Rabbi Yosef by Avedah. The machloket over here is a different story over here where you took the mashkon and you're benefiting from it. The chidush again is, according to the Rabbi Akiva, he's going to say, even though you're benefiting from the mashkon, you're still considered doing a mitzvah, and therefore you're considered shomer sachar. And the other rabbi, the Eliezer, says no. But in Rava, it's for sure a machloket. Because Rava that clearly says over here, by Avedah, that is a Shomer Hanam, clearly Rabbi Akiva argues on that. Because he says that the Malveh is considered Shomer Sachar. So clearly he's going to hold by Avedah that he's a Shomer Sachar. He's going to argue on that. So on Ava, it's a Machlok. But Rabbi Yosef, you don't have to say that it is indeed a Machlok. In any event, we haven't found yet clarity. We haven't found the machloket in Shmuel. Everyone says, okay, back to the story of Shmuel. Maybe we could find another group of rabbis that are arguing on the concept of Shmuel. Okay, interesting case. Guy lent money to his friend with a mashkon, with a collateral. not a Shemitah Ken. And we know Shemitah cancels all debts. Now, even though the Mashkon is only worth half, Eno Mishamit, the Halva'a is not cancelled out. Which means we know that Shemitah cancels all loans, and therefore we cannot collect it. Okay? However, if already it was paid already, there was a Mashkon over here, so I don't got to collect. I'm holding on to the Mashkon. So the Chadush over here is that if he's holding on to a Mashkon, Eno Mishamit, Shemitah doesn't affect it, because it's like he got paid. Now, I don't know how much he got paid yet. What is it considered how much he got paid? We'll have to see. Devei Rabbi Shimon, Batshom Gamaliel. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, Imayam Mashkono Keneged Chovo, if the Mashkon was Keneged the loan, Eno Mishamit, then already, it's not canceled. Im Lav, Mishamit. But if it was not equal to the loan, then the Shemitah cancels it out. That's the Shittot. Now let's read the Gemara. My Eno Mishamit, Nekamar Tanakama, that which Rabban Shimon Gamaliel said, that when Shemitah comes in as a collateral, it doesn't cancel it out. What's the case? What's the case? Ilema, maybe you're going to tell me. And again, the collateral was half the loan. Was half the loan. Now, Ilema kinigdo, if you're just going to tell me half the loan is not cancelled out, Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Savar kinigdo namim mishamit. Now, must be then you're going to learn that according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that argued, that he's going to say that the whole loan is going to be cancelled, even kineged the mashkon. That doesn't make sense. Ela amay tafis mashkon. So what did he take a mashkon for? Which means what benefit did he take a mashkon that was worth less than the loan? If anyway, if you can't even secure that, if you're telling me that the first shita holds that only half the loan is secured, and the second shita is going to say even that half is not secured, so what did he take it for? What did he take? What would you take a mashkon for if nothing's going to be secured in the shemitah? Ela lav, ela must be that the bat shmon gemliel holds. That when you take a collateral, keneged kulo, that what the whole loan is not going to be canceled. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, the first shita is going to say, that what? He also Shemuel, that half the collateral is keneged the whole loan. Meaning, if he lost it, there's no more payment like Shemuel. If he has it, it's going to get the whole payment. And therefore, the Shemitah is not going to cancel because it's going to get the whole loan. And the Biudah is going to say what? That it's not considered going to get the whole loan. And therefore, it only goes up to the value of the Mashkon. The Shemitah is not going to cancel it. So from the fact that you see, according to these two rabbis, they're talking about a case where a guy got a Mashkon, that was half the value of the loan. And the Shemitah came. The first Shemitah says, it's like you got paid. And therefore, Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. What do you mean you got paid? It's only half. Elahima saw that Shemuel, that when you get a collateral that's less than the value of the loan, you take a kineged the whole loan. Therefore, it's like you got paid the whole loan. Therefore, the Shemitah does not cancel it. But Sheikh, according to the Biudah, he says, no. You got half, it's worth half. The rest for the other half is going to be cancelled. And whatever half you have, then that'll be secured. Also, you see the arguing in Shemuel. So we finally found the machloket Tanaim according to Shitav Shemuel and Shemuel. Gemara says no, lo, ne'olam kenegdo. Really, that which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that the Shemitah doesn't cancel it is only keneged the value of the mashkon. Oh, and they're not arguing on Shimon. Nobody holds that the mashkon is keneged the whole loan. So what's the machloket? The Ba'akim Apelke. Tana Kamal Savar. Kenegdo, which means Tana Kama says that the value of the mashkon is secured, and therefore he can get paid at least half. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Savar Kenegdo Namem Mishamit. And that's a chiddush. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even the value of the mashkon is going to be canceled. Udeka Amart Lemay Tafis LeMashkon. And yes, me questions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what is he holding the mashkon for? He took a mashkon. And the Shemitah's coming, it's not going to help him when he took. Because the loan's going to be canceled anyway. So what in the world did he take a mashkon? According to the first Shemitah about Shimon Gamliel, I understand why he took it. He took it, at least he'll secure half if Shemitah comes. But according to the Biudah, that the whole loan gets canceled. So what benefit did you take the mashkon for? He says, I'll tell you why. Zichron devarim be'alma. Just so the loveh will not be able to be kofer in the halva'ah. He didn't take it for payment. And therefore the whole loan is going to be cancelled. Which he took it for like a proof. There was no start over here. Give me something I'm holding. So before the Shemitah comes, you won't be able to say, I never borrowed money. Hey, I'm holding you in Mashkun. But he didn't take it for payment at all. So therefore, according to that, the Machloket is not in Shemuel. Really, everybody will hold that what? They're not arguing in Shemuel. They hold that if it's less than the item in a regular case, it doesn't cancel the whole loan. But over here we're talking about where you took an item where it is less than the value and Shemitah came. Oh, so the Machloket is going to be like this. The bunch of Shemuel Gamliel says that only whatever the Mashkon is worth, that's considered secure. That's considered like you got paid, and therefore the Shemitah is not going to cancel what the value of the Mashkon is. And the Bihuda says the whole thing is cancelled. He's going to come along and say, that says what? Can I do? I mean, the whole thing is, even the half that's secured is considered cancelled. Because since the Mashkon is not equal to the loan, it's not a Mashkon. And therefore, the Shemitah, the Mashkon, he doesn't look at it as a Mashkon. The whole thing is cancelled. So if it's not a Mashkon, what do you take it for then? He only took it for Zikaron Be'alma. He took it for Zikaron just to prove that there was a loan over here. Again, that's not the Be'udah Shita clear. The Be'udah Shita is that what? When you take a Mashkon less than the value, it's not a Mashkon. Not a Mashkon. Therefore, Shemitah comes, the whole loan is cancelled. Even the value of the Mashkon is not secured. Because bottom line, you said it's less than the value of the loan. You didn't take it as a mashkon. So what'd you take it for? Gemara says you took it for zikaron devarim ba'alma. As a proof that there was a loan over here. That's all you took it for. So again, the Gemara unsuccessfully cannot show that Shemuel's shita is a machloket tana'im. Again, Shemuel's shita stands. Again, we haven't found the machloket in the tana'im. But Shemuel's machloket, the shita of Shemuel obviously is that what? That if a person lends money to somebody, and he gives him a mashkon, and the mashkon is less than half, is less than the loan itself, and there was no stipulations made. So then, and what? Then we say already that that's connected the whole loan. And if the malveh loses it or something like that, so then already the loan is canceled. Because again, the assumption is that the loan is instead the mashkon is instead of the loan. Hadran alach shivuat. Now we begin the seventh perek. Kol ha-nishma'im shebatorah. All people that swear from the Torah, anytime the Torah puts a swear on somebody, the law is like this. Nishma'im ve'lo mishalmin. The normal rule of the Torah is, the guy swears, and now he doesn't have to pay. Yon nishba ve'eno mishalem. That's the general rule. However, the Mishnah now is going to give us exceptional cases where the Hachamim stepped in and said that the case is going to be you swear and you get paid. Okay, normally that's not the rule. Normally you swear and you're patur. These cases are you swear and you get paid and you take money. Gemara says, Ve'elu nishba'im v'notlim. The following people make a shivu'ah and they take. Rabbi's made a takana. Hasachir. Sakhir is a worker, we'll see the case. Van Nigzal, somebody that got something stolen from him. Van Nihbal, somebody that got physically damaged. Ve Shekinigdo Hashud al Shivu'ah. Or in a case where the person that's supposed to make the Shivu'ah is suspicious that he's going to lie, so they flip the Shivu'ah back on the other guy, on the Toreya, and he makes the Shivu'ah and he will take in that case as well. Bechenvani al Pinkaso. And a shopkeeper with his ledger, swearing about the facts that he has in his ledger on credit that he gives to people. We will see each case now individually, but in all these cases we have in common is what? You swear and you take. The Gemara Mishnah begins. It's a long Mishnah. Asachir ketzad. What's the case of the sachir? What's the case of a worker? Amar lo. The worker goes to the employer. Tell me, sekarish yesh li biyadecha. Pay me. You owe me payment. Omer, the employer says, Natati. I paid you already. Vala Omer, lo natalti. No, sir. I didn't get anything. Hu nishba. So the worker swears that he didn't get paid. Venotem. And he takes it. Now, even though from the Torah law, the balabait is patur, because he's kofer hakol. The worker saying, pay me. I don't owe you anything. So mena Torah is patur, because he's kofer hakol. However, the Gemara is going to explain why they made a special takana that they make the worker swear and get paid. Why is this? We'll have to see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says like this: the worker doesn't swear and get paid ad shetesh sham miksat toda'a. It has to be a case of modeh miksat, which is the Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Chachamim made a takana that you swear and you take only in a place where mina Torah you would normally make a swear. For example, a modeh miksat case. Ketzad amar lo ten li sichari 50 dinar shesh biyadecha. The worker says, listen, pay me 50 dinar that you owe me. Omer, hitkabalta dinar zahab. Wait, I don't owe you 50. I paid you a dinar zahab already. And therefore, I only owe you dinar zahab is like 25 kesef. So I only owe you 25 more dinarim of kesef. So the Baal HaBayit is chayav shivu'am or debimiksat. Because that's the case, it's chayav. So in a case where the Baal HaBayit would be normally chayav in a Torah, in this case, for whatever reason, they flipped it to the worker, you swear that you didn't get paid and take your money. So Rabbi Yehuda again agrees that Sahid is a case that you make a Shivu'ah and take, but it's just in a different scenario. When the Baal HaBayit was modeh b'miksat, so he would normally be chayav a Shivu'ah, here we flip the Shivu'ah from him and we give it to the Sahid. Okay, next case. Nigzal Ketzav. The guy got stolen from, he makes a shivua. Hayu mi'idim oto. Let's say your witnesses came to the malved, to the lender. Shenichnas lebeto lemashkono shelo birshut. Which means the witnesses come along and say, we saw the malved go into the loved's house without permission to take the mashkon, without permission. You took the mashkon without the permission of Bedin. And without the permission of the owner. Who omer, the loved says, Kelai natalta, you took my items, you took my possessions, you're a thief. Umer, the malve says, no natalti, I didn't take. Which means, here we have a claim. The malve is claiming you're a gazlan, you went into my house, and you took something that belongs to me. And then the malve comes along and says, no natalti, I didn't take anything. Yamaran says, that was the Mishnah says, who nishba v'notel, the love, in this case. He makes a shivua that indeed you took my item, you stole, came into my house without permission, and therefore he takes it. Why? Because he's nigzal, he's the one that got stolen from. So Achamim put a shivua on him to take it. The Biudalme, same story. Ajitisham miksat toda'a, which it has to be a modib miksat over here by the gazlan. Then it'll be hayav shivua. Ketzad, amar lo, the love says, shne kedim natalta, hu omer lo natalti ela ehad. Oh, you took two. I only took one. You must never mix that. Hayav shivua. Flip it to the lover, who's the nigzal over here, and he makes the shivua, and he takes the two. Nechbal ketzad. Now we get to the case of damaging. Nechbal ketzad. What's the case? Hayu me'idim. Let's see, had witnesses that came along and testified. Shenichnas tachat yado shalem v'yatza havul. We say, listen, we saw this guy go into his friend's house. He went in whole, meaning healthy, and he came out all blemished, which means probably what happened, and he went inside, and the guy inside beat him up. And they didn't see the actual beating up. They just saw the guy walk into a house healthy, come out all beaten up. So Amar lo, so that the guy that got beaten up says, Habalta bi, hey buddy, you owe me money, you damaged me. V'omer lo habalti, it wasn't me. Harez nishba v'notel. The guy that got damaged, he swears the case, and he gets paid. Rabbi Yehuda Amir, same story. Achitesha miksat toda'a. It's got to be modeh miksat case. Ketzad. Amar lo, the guy that got damaged says, Habalta bishnayim. You punched me twice. Ve'ala omer lo, habalta b'cha ela ahad. I only punched you once. So therefore, it's modeh miksat. He would normally have to swear, but we put the shivua on the nechbal. He swears and he takes. Shikinigdo chashud ala shivua. Or in the case where a person is supposed to make a shivua, let's say the nitva is supposed to make a shivua, the guy is supposed to make a shivua, but he can't make a shivua because he's suspicious on his word. Therefore, we flip the shivua back to the other guy. What's the case, Ketzad? What's the case? Ahad shivuat ha'edut. Now, whether the person that's supposed to make the swear is suspicious because he once lied regarding shivuat ha'edut, which means one time the guy that claimed to him said, do you know testimony for me? And he swore that he doesn't know. And then he admitted later on that he does know. So that's considered suspicious to make a shivua. So whether his lie came in the realm of shivuat ta'idut, the achad shivuat pikadon, or the guy's a liar because one time somebody came to him for a pikadon, and he, where's my pikadon? He said, I don't have it. And then he was swore falsely, then he said, he does have it. So that's also a liar. The afilu shivuat shav. Not only that, even if he swore stam shivuat shav, right? He says, you know, I swear I'm going to eat, and he didn't eat, or something like that. But he swears that this gold is a piece of wood, or wood is gold. I mean, stam just a stam shivuat shav, which means this doesn't affect people. The shivuat shav is not against man; it's just against God. Still, he's considered a liar. The first two cases, the guys testifying falsely against people. He's swearing, I don't know testimony for you. I swear I don't have your pikadon. There already I understand why I treat him as a liar. But the hadush is even a shivuat shav, which between him and God, stand the guy just lies. Still you cannot trust him in a bet din to make a shivua. That's what it says, va'afidu shivuat shav. Now, haya echad mehim. Now let's say the guy that's supposed to make the shivua, misahak bekuvia. He's a gambler. He plays dice. So he's gambling. Or he charges, let's say, a loan with interest. Or he plays with pigeons, which is also a form of gambling. You know, which pigeons comes first. Or he steals pigeons. He sends his pigeon to the other dovecotes in order to take the pigeons of other people. Or he sells fruit during the Shemitah year. In those cases also, he's considered hashud al shavua, and therefore the other guy makes the swear. Now, let's just go discuss some of these cases over here. Let's look at Mesachek Bekubia. This is talking about over here, all cases where the Pesul is Midrabanan. Okay? Which we're not talking about where the Pesul, if it's Pesul, right, that for sure doesn't make the Shivua. The case over here is where he's playing dice. So, playing dice, which is gambling, you can't consider Gazan de Oraita, because everybody goes in knowing that they're going to they might have to lose money, but that's called asmachta, which means nobody goes into the game to plan on losing. So the Gemara said that the rabbi said asmachta lokanya, that even though when you're giving it, they say, oh, okay, I lost, here's my money, you're not giving it over full heartedly. Therefore, the guy's considered a gazlan. Okay, so, and what's the next case over there? He's charging interest, let's say midrabanan on a rabbinical level. Matrihayunim is similar to the gambling case, or he's either, like we said, the competition against the birds, or according to that, he's training his bird to go steal the other birds from the dovecote. That's also not gazlan de oraita, because the birds are coming themselves. The birds that were in somebody else's dovecote, they came to him by themselves. So by taking them, you're not stealing them, de'oraita, because they really don't belong to him. They just came to make a kenyan, and then they just came to the other guy from the efker. So you taking them with your bird, it's like the case of de'oraita. All these cases, so Harishmi selling fruit in the Shemitah year also is considered a midrabanan. So all these cases over there, even though he's suspected rabbinically for a sin regarding monies, all these things have to do with money, he's suspected on money, so he'll lie also. He'll swear falsely also. So you put the Shivua on the other guy. Last point, Imayu Shineim Hashudim. That's a good case. Let's say both of them are Hashud. So you're going to make swear. The Tobeyaz Hashud, the Nidbaz Hashud. Hazra Shivu'a lim koma. You return the Shivu'a to the original guy, the Ben Rabbi Yosef, whoever was supposed to make it originally. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachloku. Rabbi Meir says, no, you can't make anybody swear, because they're both liars, they're both suspicious. Therefore, just put the money in between them, and each guy takes half. Okay. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.